Hello, members of the Lasting Supper. This is David Hayward. Welcome to Meet a Member Podcast. Today I'm talking with Giordana Tocchielli. I think she lives in North Carolina, and she's a health and wellness coach, a member of the Lasting Supper.
Hello, David.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm fine. So it's Giordana, right?
It's Giordana, yes.
Okay. I have a niece named Giordana, but it's spelled J-O-R-D-A-N-A. Uh-huh. And, you know, it's just like Giordana, but it looks like your name should be pronounced like Giordana, you know, something exotic or something.
Yeah, yeah. No, Giordana works, definitely.
And how do you say your last name?
Tocchielli.
Mm-hmm. And where's that from?
That is Italian.
Okay.
Yes. It means touching the altar of heaven.
Oh my God, and you're still alive.
And I'm still alive, exactly.
Wow. I've got Italian in my blood, too.
Oh, really?
My mom's side, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So what else have you got going on?
In my blood?
Uh-huh.
I've got British and according to Deepak Chopra, I have the blood of Jesus in me too, so.
The blood of Jesus. There you go.
Yeah. Anyway, how are you?
I'm good, David. Good. Busy and good. Enjoying summer and just kind of prepping for a lot of work coming up this next year, so
yeah.
Enjoying the rest in the summer, yes.
Hey, listen, it's so good to talk to you. How long have we been friends now on Facebook?
Well, I don't know. I mean, at least 3 years, right?
Yeah, it must be.
Yeah, I mean, I think the first cartoon I saw was in 2008. It was the Lambast cartoon.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember looking at it and thinking, oh my God, somebody's saying these things. And so I thought that was hilarious.
Yeah, that was a long time ago. Wow. Yeah. Listen, I think you're awesome. Thanks so much for, you've been on the Lasting Supper for a while now, but all of a sudden you've gotten really vocal and I love your voice, and I love your sense of humor and just how blunt you can be. I think that's really cool and refreshing.
Thank you, David.
Yeah.
I think it took me, you know, when you're going through this whole deconstruction, it is like detox and you are grieving. And because I'm blunt, I think I restrained my voice from any participation in much of anything because I thought I'm not going to filter whatever. Saying and right now I'm in pain, so
yeah.
I think in the last 5 months or so I've felt healing and like I can, you know, be softer and so I can speak from what I am, so I'm definitely not a very filtered person.
So you've never been that way? You've always been blunt?
Yeah, well, I think I am by nature very, very blunt, but I pretty much up until the age of 27 I'd kind of, the small moments that I had been blunt in my family would always, of course, get trouble because family that I grew up in, it was just like the typical thing where, you have to toe the line and agree because that is respect and loyalty. And
right.
Actually questioning anything is a sign of disrespect, having any sort of curiosity. And I think living in Spain was fantastic for me because the culture in general is very blunt. So I was like, I'm home in so many ways. But I think I went to Bible school in Sydney, Australia, with this huge mega church that's down there. And of course I went there and I was just, again, feeling the frustration of that pressure to toe the line and be nice and plaster a smile on your face. And, you know, almost like always, people constantly putting expectations on each other and you had to always meet those expectations.
Yeah.
Toe the line. And I did it for about 2.5 months. That's about as long as I lasted. Because of course it was a new culture and then, you know, Gio started coming out again and I started asking questions and just saying, this is just, you know, to me it's just perpetuating neurosis and I want to be free.
Yeah.
It's the whole reason why I've pursued God, it's because I want to be free.
So you went to Bible school in Australia?
Yes, I did.
Which when Bible school?
Well, I guess because it's TLS and conservative, I tend to not want to name names just because I don't want any pushback.
Okay.
But it's Hillsong.
Oh, you went to Hillsong?
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. And yes, I did. And you know, before I went there,
you're funny. You're like, yes, I did. Yes, I did.
This is a confession.
Then you got quiet, and then all of a sudden you go, yes, I did.
Yes, exactly. Before that, I actually graduated university in Spain, and I went to La Brie in the Swiss Alps.
Okay. Totally. Yeah. Totally. Totally. Yeah.
So I was there for 3 months, and I remember thinking, oh well, finally someplace where I can. I mean. The Swiss Alps. I'm very in tune with nature, so I always look for places where nature, I believe, will heal me, actually. Uh-huh. But so I went there and I took my questions, because really I gave my life to Christ when I was 23, after I had a healing experience with prayer, a very kind of powerful experience with prayer. And so I went to La Brie thinking, well, you know, the theology in Spain is very primitive. You know, I mean, if you think churches are bad in the United States, in Spain, it's literally like the Inquisition. I mean, it's like witch burnings. And so wow. I was very happy to be free of that. So I went to Switzerland thinking, well, I'll be able to bring my questions here, right? And so I remember sitting in front of a theologian and asking simple questions like, what is righteousness or what is grace? I remember I kept, as a new born Christian, I always kept asking, what is grace? You know, what is grace? It was this, of course, inside this hunger for freedom yeah. and unconditional love, you know?
Yeah.
And I was just trying to mentally understand it. And no one could give me an answer. I mean, to me, it was just mind-boggling. I mean, no one could give me a straight answer. So I thought, well, you know, I'll go to Australia. I love to travel. I love to live in different cultures. I think I shot my endocrine system by living in 5 different continents in the last 5 years. But so I went to Sydney thinking, well, you know, a friend of mine's going. It's Australia, and this church seems to be heavily into social justice. And it was 2.5 months, and I began massive deconstruction, like massive.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Wow. And, yeah. So Hillsong, like, you know, I was the last church I pastored was a Vineyard church, and Hillsong worship music was very influential in the Vineyard church. So I was pretty aware of what was going on in the Hillsong movement and everything. And actually, I saw. There was a Pentecostal conference here in St. John, the city where I live.
Oh, really?
And my brother was a Pentecostal minister at the time, and he invited me to come. And it was, who's the pastor there?
The head, I would say CEO pastor is Bill, Brian Houston.
Brian Houston and his wife, Bobby.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And they were there speaking, so I didn't like it, but...
Yeah.
Because that was during a time when I was really deconstructing too, but...
Yeah, exactly.
So...
Exactly, and to each their own, right?
Yeah.
And I think for years I just couldn't figure out why I was so different and why I just couldn't really just do what everybody else was doing. But in the end, to me, you know, it's the same thing. You see it at Hillsong, I see it in the health and wellness community. It's that human, you know, the transition, I think, from when we are humans understanding only conditional love and dysfunctions and performance, and then transitioning hopefully into inner freedom, right? And
right.
Focused on the inside. Yeah.
What makes you the way you are? Like why did you go down this path of asking a lot of questions and eventually experiencing a personal deconstruction in your own belief systems? Like, what do you think made you different than other people that way? Like,
well, first of all, by nature, I'm a health and wellness coach, and I, you know, I come from a family of surgeons, and my grandfather was a very curious person.
Okay.
Everybody says I take after him. He was like a really good diagnostician. Essentially, when you want to diagnose something, you want to think efficiently, and you want to get to the root of an issue very quickly. And so I find myself that my mind just works in that way. It's always continually trying to grapple with and understand what's the most efficient, you know, way to input energy to get the maximum output, really. And so I think that coupled with just a curiosity towards life. Just it was just easy to pick up on human patterns and things that kept being dysfunctional and inefficient, and
and
to apply it to every area, really, health, religion, and so I think it was that curiosity, right, to get to a
So you're like a spiritual Dr. House.
Yeah, I've never seen the show, but I imagine.
Well, I
my favorite books was Sherlock Holmes when I was 10 years old.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting because I read those books too. So what do you do then with what you call significant spiritual experience, such as the healing and everything that you, what do you do with that?
What do I do with that? You know, I look at it a lot of the time through just different lenses. You know, I like to look at something like from 20 different angles.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of moving out of that need for my brain to decide what something is. Like, you talk a lot about labeling.
Yes.
So I can be comfortable with something I don't understand, and I can be comfortable with something I don't have an answer to. Now, that said, I've studied a lot of quantum physics as well, and so looking at things from an energy perspective, to me, answers a lot of questions. It's just, I think, what science has yet to... And I think in the next 10 to 20 years, 30 years, we're going to move from what a lot of people in the alternative health field refer to as the 10th paradigm of medicine, which is the Western idea of medicine. It's very reductionist. Like, you have a liver doctor and, doctors that specialize, which is a very kind of separation-oriented way of seeing things, and it's going to go more into a kind of holistic...
Yeah. So, like, I've had very strange... and unusual things happened to me as well in my past, and in those days I would have said it was a miracle, or, you know, God did this or whatever. I see a lot of people dismissing these experiences and just say they made it up or whatever, but I'm not willing to go there. I'm kind of like you. It's like, no, you know, something weird happened. I really don't know how to describe it or how to explain it, but you know, I'm not willing to throw it out either.
Yeah, and you wrote that today, and I really caught on to that in your Lasting Supper Daily Bread, which, by the way, I think your daily breads have been absolutely brilliant and sharp. So
thank you
for those. I really, really resonate with them.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I think, you know, I think they've done a lot of testing that shows, you know, things that go way beyond time and the time, space, and matter continuum. And so I think it's just a matter of time before we understand them. And one of the questions that I asked myself in my deconstruction was, what is a belief, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And why is it that someone with conviction can be powerful, even though the conviction can be wrong?
Yes.
You know? Like, and so what is behind kind of a focused energy like that? And I felt, through this deconstruction, so displaced and disjointed and incongruent, that you know, so just analyzing both. So I think Wayne Rumsby brought up the idea of constructs, and how the mind attempts to organize the world around us through these constructs, and that's something that I've grappled with. Like, how do you maintain yourself slightly detached, always from the certainty or the need for a construct, right?
Right.
But at the same time, a construct is a tool.
Yeah.
Just like atoms, you know, we know we're made up of atoms. Still, atoms organize themselves in density to form bones, and bones give the structure to our body and hold us up, right? And so constructs can be tools.
So. Yeah. Yeah. You talk a lot about our physical bodies. You talk a lot about health and well-being and wholeness and that's what you're into, right? Can you talk about that for a minute?
Yeah, definitely. I think so a lot of kind of, you know, psychologists say that humans in general tend to move from being addicts or recovering addicts or have some part of their lives that are addicts. And I think I'm addicted to thinking. But it's terrible, actually. But I think once I lost my theological... what theology filled my life, you know, it was such a, and I had that vacuum. I'd already been studying health because I actually healed myself of fibromyalgia. I actually walked out of kind of the Western paradigm of medicine and, you know, heal myself. And so through this whole experience of
You had fibromyalgia?
Yeah, at the age of 17, I was diagnosed with severe fibromyalgia. Like, I needed help walking and getting out of cars and stuff. I was sick for close to 6 years.
And you healed yourself through what we call alternative medicine.
Yeah, it's just a connection with your body, really.
Yeah.
You know how we have laws for everything? Like, we have laws in the natural world. Like, we understand how ecosystems work, et cetera.
Yes.
Well, there are laws that govern the body, and I think we're very disconnected from understanding laws are.
So have you gone for training? Like, what's your education? Like, what are you doing now in terms of health?
What am I doing now? I'm a health and wellness coach. I've gotten certified. I'm a health strategist. I've gotten a list of certifications. But I've worked in a nonprofit health organization in Sydney, Australia. I've worked in a holistic clinic in the Caribbean as well.
In the Caribbean?
Yeah, I was there for 9 months because after my deconstruction, I came back from Australia to visit my parents. And that was the time when I faced, okay, so now my faith was crumbling, my worldview was crumbling, and now it was time to deal with finding my voice in my family.
Yeah.
And so I came back and it was extremely painful to stand up to just, you know, shedding light on dysfunctions, like being in an environment where I was heavily controlled and heavily manipulated. Heavily repressed, you know, I had banished my authentic self into a closet, essentially to belong, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's what TLS is about, like unearthing who you are and sacrificing the belonging to a bigger whatever, you know?
Yeah.
And so after that, I was like, I need to go someplace completely off the grid where I have no influences, no one telling me, no one judging, nothing, right? No eyes on me. So I went to a Caribbean island for about 10 months, and I worked as a journalist, and then I worked as a holistic nutritionist at a medical clinic there.
Wow.
Yeah.
You've been around.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why my endocrine system is shot. That's the system that, you know, the fight or flight helps you sleep at night, you know.
Yeah.
Deal with changes. It's like, you better be in one place for the next 5 years.
Yeah, yeah. So that's what you're doing now. You're a health and wellness coach.
I've been a health and wellness coach for 3 years, and I've had an online client base. And actually, in August, I'm about 90% sure I'll be signing on as a partner for a restaurant. So.
Yeah, I was following that a little bit, and you want to describe? It sounds like a really cool concept.
Yeah, it's a gallery. It's a really cool minimalist gallery. It's owned by a man who's an executive in Wells Fargo. And he's opened up a gallery to kind of exhibit. I was going to say expose, because in Spanish you say expose, but that's not correct. To exhibit Latin American art, contemporary art.
Yeah.
And he's into health and wellness, and he wants to open up a cafe and dining concept that has all the ethos, you know, the sustainability, green, and so they contacted me for that, and I've come on board.
Yeah, cool. That sounds really cool. Hey, Jordana, I like to keep these for around 20 minutes, you know,
okay.
So we're just about done, but
okay.
Is there anything you'd like to say that you wanted to say, or anything you'd like to pass on to the Lasting Supper members, or?
Yeah, just be true to yourself, no matter what the cost. I would say that, you know, that's kind of the motto I live by.
Yeah. How, well, you imply that there's been a lot of costs, like you've...
massive.
Has there been any repair in the area, like with family or friends or anything, or are you still...
No, there has been. There has been.
Yeah.
Definitely. I think when I started to gain strength in my own opinion of myself, I was able to approach them from less of a hate or anger perspective to, you know, sharing the pain that I felt. And I think that was easier for them to comprehend than to be in the mind about who's right and wrong.
Wow, interesting story. And what's fascinating to me is with a lot of people on the Lasting Supper, if not all, but like you in particular, it's like I've known you my whole life.
Yeah.
It's like we've been friends. It's like I love you. I care about you. And, you know, it's like... We could just totally hang out, you know, anybody on the Lasting Supper. And In fact, there's some people that are trying to orchestrate.
I saw that.
yeah. So I need to get in a car and make a road trip. That would be
definitely,
so fun. Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
We should do something fun, like, I don't know, hit up the mountains or the beach or who was saying the, what's that big city with all the bars?
The big city with all the bars? Which city doesn't have a lot of bars?
Gosh, where you go and gamble?
Oh, Las Vegas.
I think somebody suggested Las Vegas. So.
Yeah. Yeah, that's one of the options.
And so. I just want to say to you, David, thank you again so much for, I consider you to be a pastor and such an example where I was always like, David gives me hope that I'm not going to lose my sanity. You know, like you were such a kind of like a lighthouse. So thank you so much.
Well, thank you so much. That means a lot to me. Really does. Because it's you know yourself, it's tough out there, right? There's a lot of pushback, like you say. And every day I struggle with, oh, I'm so tired of this shit. I'm just so tired of it. But then I realize that people like you and me and, you know, Wayne and Richard and Pam and so on and so forth are providing people with the strength they need to find their own voice and to find some courage and to take some steps in towards their own healing and wholeness, you know. So that's why I do it.
Exactly. And it's so needed. Absolutely.
Yeah. Listen, Joe. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, and another thing to TLS, give yourself permission to be a complete mess.
Yeah.
And to just be what you have to be during your pain. No judgment.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, I wrote that the other day on one of my updates on Facebook. I said, be angry for as long as it takes. And I couldn't believe all the negative feedback I got on that, you know. But I believe in it because I've seen it work. I've seen when people are given the space and the permission to just process in at their own speed, it always works.
Oh, and just one more thing to add on to that. Again, I'm the body nerd. but that's how detox works in the body, David. Like, anytime you eat clean and toxins are released into your bloodstream, you get anything from a fever to nausea to migraine to incredible mood swings to smelling really bad. So it's actually very messy.
Yeah.
So it's very similar as well.
Yeah. That's a cool analogy. It really is. Actually, it's all the same thing, isn't it?
It is.
It's all connected.
Parallel universes.
Absolutely. Well, Jordana, thanks so much for talking with me today.
Thank you for giving me a voice and your opportunity to voice.
Yeah. Okay. Well, have a great day. I'm going to go for a run now.
Okay. Good on you.
All right. Bye-bye. See ya. Hey, everyone. That was Jordana Tocacelli. She's down in North Carolina, I believe, and member of the Lasting Supper. Man, why are you guys all so cool? You're amazing. I just love you all. And if you want to talk and be part of the Meet a Member podcast, just let me know. I'd love to get you in on an episode. This is David Hayward. I'll talk to you guys next time, and I'll see you on the Lasting Supper.